So we're still going through Nehemiah's story, and but this time, even though we're in the book with Nehemiah's name, Ezra is taking a leadership role in our story today. The focus is not so much on the wall, the physical wall, but on the spiritual work that needs to be done. We're told that the people gathered in unity. Men, women, young and old, anyone who was able to understand, all together. And they asked Ezra to bring out the book of the law of Moses. Probably one or more of those first five books of our Bibles, sometimes called the Torah. These scriptures had been ignored and neglected for years, generations. But on this very good and wonderful day, the people asked Ezra, the priest and the scribe, to bring out the law of Moses. And so we're told that he read the law aloud from daybreak until noon. Daybreak to noon. It's a very long scripture reading, even longer than what Pastor Chris and I sometimes pick. It's very, very, very long. Next, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. They worshiped. And then we're also told that the Levites got up and instructed the people in the law. It says, making it clear, giving the meaning, so that the people understood what was read. And they did this, these long morning worship services with scripture, for 7 days. 7 days. Together they worshiped and heard from God's word that they had not heard in a while. Throughout the passage, at different points, we get insights into how the people responded to worshiping together and to hearing God's word. We're told that they listened attentively, which I think from daybreak to noon is pretty impressive. They listened attentively. At times, they stood up tall. That's why I wanted us to stand up during the scripture reading today. At times, they lifted their hands high and shouted, "Amen." Other times, they kneeled, not just sort of a halfway kneel, but their faces to the ground before God. And they were crying. Their encounter with the Word of God started out a bit uncomfortable as the mirror was held up before them, so to speak, showing them they were not the people that they thought they were. Showing them how far their lives had gotten off course from God's ways and God's plan. But the painful and uncomfortable encounter with Scripture was a good pain, kind of like the pain of surgery when the good surgeon is bringing needed correction and needed healing. It's not comfortable, but it's for our healing and it's for our life. Verse 9, Nehemiah. Then Nehemiah the governor, it says, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." I think "the joy of the Lord is your strength" is the phrase in Nehemiah most likely to end up on a refrigerator magnet or something. It's this quotable phrase The joy of the Lord is your strength. Out of context, it can seem like the leaders are asking the people, when they ask them to avoid mourning and weeping and grieving, it seems like it might seem like a command to be like happy all the time, just with like a smile plastered on. But the grief that they were referring to is sorrow for sin. It was right at first, in God's presence, hearing the word of God, that the people would mourn that their lives had gotten so far, that their worship had gotten so far off course, that they had so long neglected God's instructions. But their leaders did not want to leave them in that sorrow for their sin forever. So they actually had to be instructed to go celebrate. And it wasn't like, well, you're going to keep worshiping, you just have to be really happy about it. It wasn't like a kind of a pious celebration, although that might have its place, I suppose. They were told to go eat. Go get together and eat and celebrate. Eat good food and make sure everybody has something to share and celebrate. Yes, your sin is serious, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what the leaders say, and that is what the people did. They went and took some time to celebrate this new thing that God was doing among them. Now, if their response had ended there, with sorrow turned to joy, with no change in their actions, then hearing God's word would have had very little effect on their lives. It maybe would have affected their emotions, but not their whole lives. But that's not what happened. In fact, their encounter with God's word led to a new commitment. This is in Nehemiah chapter 10. I'm going to read a little bit more than is going to be on the screen. It says, the rest of the people, priests, Levites, gatekeepers, musicians, temple servants, and all who separated themselves from the neighboring people for the sake of the law of God, together with their wives and all their sons and daughters who were able to understand. All these now join their fellow Israelites, the nobles, and bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord, our Lord. They had messed up in the past, but they made this new commitment together to follow the word of God from now on. And they made this promise together, knowing that they couldn't do it on their own. They would need to hold each other accountable to continue to hear the word of the Lord and act on it, and to stay focused on that. Their first attempt at following God's law begins in verse 13. After they had finished their initial celebration and eating together, they gathered again around God's word. And they rediscovered a festival in the Bible they hadn't really celebrated since the days of Joshua, which was many, many years before. So they followed God's instructions as best they could. They couldn't rely on their memories of what like their parents or grandparents did because it had been so long. So they had to just listen to the word and follow this festival as best they could. And they loved it. They had a good time. I noticed that when they had their big feast, they were able to celebrate with joy because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. So great joy in hearing the word of God and understanding the word of God. But after they began to apply God's message to their lives, to live it out with concrete action, then it says in verse 17, their joy was very great. Her joy went from great to very great as they're living and walking in God's word. So they encounter the word. At first, they felt sorry for their sins. But then when they had some understanding, they were able to rejoice. When they were able to celebrate God's forgiveness, then that joy of the Lord came back to them. But then when they acted on the word, then their joy was very great. So their greatest joy was not in hearing the word and in understanding, although those were necessary first steps, but acting on the word of God in their daily lives together. That was what made their joy complete. Several years ago, Pastor Chris and I read a book by A.J. Jacobs called The Year of Living Biblically. He's a New York City journalist, and he spent a year. He's one of the first to do this. I feel like everybody's doing this now. Like, come up with some weird project and do it for a year and then write a book about it. So his project was to follow the commands in the Bible as literally as possible for 1 year. Although he actually kind of focused, he took certain sections and focused on them at different points in his year. But he got through the whole Bible. He didn't grow up with the Bible, so he wasn't kind of going on family tradition or anything that he had been taught. Calls himself agnostic. He says, I'm officially Jewish, but I'm Jewish in the same way the Olive Garden is an Italian restaurant. So kind of like Jewish in name. He didn't grow up with it. His journey with the Bible is very funny, but also kind of neat to see the spiritual journey that he goes through as he learned and grew in some ways that he hadn't expected when he just set out to write a book, write a funny book. Regardless of his original intention, the word of God had an effect on A.J. Jacobs. As it says in Hebrews, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God is alive and active. I have some questions for reflection for us. First, are we spending time with God's word? Are we in the word much at all? And I realize if you hear my voice, then you're watching church at home or you're here at church and you've listened to the scripture reading, but it's kind of like only read the Bible on the days that you eat, you know? So if you eat once a week, then once a week church is probably good for you. But for most of us, we need God's word a lot more than that. Just like we need food a lot more than once a week to keep ourselves nourished and strong and moving forward and dealing with whatever challenges come our way. So we ask ourselves, how much are we in the word lately? Even though we come to the Bible, when we do read the Bible, we come to it with mixed motives. We all have a tendency to get distracted or maybe discouraged. But even so, God's word is powerful. There's a covenant resource paper on the Bible that says, we do not just read the Bible reads us. The Bible is living and active, and we should expect to be changed. We should expect the Bible to do something and to make a difference, both in readers and in their communities. As we read the living word, the living God confronts us and calls us to new life in the kingdom of God. So I ask, are we allowing God to hold up the mirror in his love and his kindness to show us where we are off course, to show us how to get back on the path? Will we stay on that operating table long enough for the great physician to bring healing? And when we understand some of God's message, I say some because we're all still learning and growing. When we become more aware of our sin, will we be willing to receive and offer forgiveness through Christ so that we can celebrate and be free? Will we include others in our celebration? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And finally, for reflection, will we commit together to follow God's word and act on it together? Worship that makes us weep one moment and sing for joy the next may be good, but it's not complete until we are taking action together. What we do when Sunday school and church are over, what we do when grow group or prayer time is over, that's where the rubber meets the road, doesn't it? And following God and following his word. And that's why we need each other so much, because we can't do this alone. So the people of God had come home to Jerusalem, come home from exile. They had come back to the land, the good land that God had given to them. They had rebuilt the temple and the wall with God's help. But they realized with Ezra's guidance that they were still spiritually displaced. They were back home and yet far from God in many ways. So their return home was only complete when they could spiritually come home from exile. And it was God's word that was their map to show them, A, that they were lost, and B, to show them how to get back to God's ways so that they could really, really come home. And so for us, whenever we are lost or confused, the word of God is there, the guide to bring us home to what God has for us. Thanks be to God for that. And I invite you to stand. We're going to sing, Lord, we hear your word with gladness. Here. your word. And help us to confess our sins and to be honest with ourselves and with you and with one another about where we have gone astray. It is your love and grace that gives us the courage to face who we really are and to face the truth of your word. As we let your word read us, we give thanks that you are helping each one of us to grow in grace and knowledge, to grow in our understanding of your word to us. And mostly we thank you for the promise of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. What a gift that we can be who we are in your presence, and we can rejoice because you are so good and your love endures forever. And we can count on your forgiveness. Help us to extend forgiveness where we need to extend it to others. May forgiveness be actively working in our lives because of you, Jesus. We thank you that your word says anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone and a new life has begun. Thank you for making us new, for giving us new life in Christ. And we need your help to walk in that new life in Christ with support from one another by your Holy Spirit's power in our lives. Help us as we step out into the rest of our day and the rest of our week and all the things we will experience, all the people we will meet, all the decisions we will make. Lord, help us to follow you. Thank you for the joy that you've given us, that strengthens us for each day. We think of those who need special help from you today, whether it be healing, guidance, comfort. And we want to name Linda Peterson, who has asked for prayers from her friend Mary Anderson. We pray for her son, who is in the midst of a mental health crisis. We pray that you would surround him, you would bless and keep him, they would provide for what he needs. And we pray for Linda herself, who just recently was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. We pray that you provide healing, that she would sense your presence with her every step of the way through treatment and whatever she needs to experience as she seeks healing of her body. We pray for this family that you would carry them through this especially hard time. Give them strength and joy from you. We lift up other needs and thanksgivings that are on our minds and hearts now, silently. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We pray in the words that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may stand, if you're able, for our closing hymn, Lord, Speak to Me.
Thank you.
celebrate. Our sins are forgiven. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Go in that joy. Amen.